Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Just Believe Radio on the Rightstream Network. I'm your host, Lisa Tarvis. For those of you who haven't listened to the show before, I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, Reiki master, a bunch of other things, but I'm also the author of the book, Just Believe, hence the name of the show, Just Believe. So the show airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. We have a special guest every Sunday, covering different subjects, regarding holistic medicine, metaphysical science, a lot of spiritual topics, paranormal subjects, and pretty much anything under the spiritual umbrella. We try to hit on every week. I don't want to spend a lot of time. Because we have a great guest today, and I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about things that don't matter, so we're going to get right to our guest. Today, we're doing a very positive, upbeat show with Leah Carey, and Leah is the Chief Miracle Officer of the Miracle Journal, and the Miracle Journal is a popular online blog where Leah writes about the large and small miracles that happen every day in her life. She is a life coach, speaker, journalist, freelance writer, and lover of life. And all those pursuits, she works with people to identify what's already right in your life, so you can build an even more joyful and fulfilling daily experience from that foundation. Her blog, if you want to check it out, is themiraclejournal.com, themiraclejournal.com. So I'm going to get her right now and bring her on the show, introduce her to everyone. Leah, are you there?
Hi, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm so happy you could be on the show. I love your work. I love what you do. I love the idea of miracles. I love the title, Chief Miracle Officer. I think that's awesome. When I was looking at your blog and I'm looking at all the different things that you do, you have, the blog is everything. And I mean, there are so many different topics, and it's pretty much just what's going on in your life, I guess, and in your head. And
yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah, we were just talking, and it's like, it's the way you journal. You know, journaling is so good for you, so good for everybody. I always tell all my clients, journal, journal, journal. It's just a great release. It's a great way to write down your thoughts and let things go a lot of times.
Yeah, absolutely.
To do it through a blog, sometimes you talk about having a bad day. It's not always, candy-coated happy stuff. You seem to put a positive spin on everything. You know, it all works out in the end. There's a lesson to be learned, I guess, in everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's ask the first thing. What do you consider a miracle, and do you think it's a religious? Do you think a miracle has a religious content?
Right. I think it's really important to start there because the word miracle does have those connotations for some people that, the idea of walking on water or having a cancerous tumor spontaneously disappear. And, of course, those things would be miracles if they happened in my life. But I'm talking about something that's much more everyday. I'm talking about those little things that make me feel like I'm on the right track, like I'm living the life I'm supposed to be living, I'm doing the things I'm supposed to be doing on a very moment-by-moment basis that make me feel good about the experience that I'm having. So the way that I like to talk about it is that for years, I spent so much time focusing on what was wrong in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, either focusing on what was wrong and why I was such a victim or so broken, and when was someone going to come along and fix me? And then I started doing some of my spiritual work, and I started focusing on what was wrong so that I could fix it, which was a slightly different take on the same thing. You know, I was digging inside, and I was really searching out all those places where I had, you know, bad behaviors or unhelpful beliefs or all of those things, looking for the things that were wrong so I could fix them. And it was when I started the Miracle Journal that I had this major shift in perspective, and I started looking at the world through the lens of what's going right. And that has really completely changed my experience of the world. And the thing is that my world hasn't really changed. My behavior hasn't changed significantly. It's simply the lens that I look through the world, to the world that has changed. And it has made all of the difference.
Yeah, that's amazing, because that's so much about, you know, what we teach in holistic medicine, is that you're trying to turn your negative thought patterns into positive thought patterns, mm-hmm. and you came about that on your own. I mean, you pretty much figured that out on your own, you know, that's what you needed to do, mm-hmm. in order to, you know, move past whatever thing you were going through, I guess, at that point in your life.
Sure. And, you know, I certainly had done a lot of spiritual and metaphysical learning and had learned all those lessons about having a positive mindset and about thinking in terms of affirmations and all of those things. But because I was so focused on what was wrong with me, and I was so focused on why am I not getting this right? You know, it's like I would learn the lessons about, say, the law of attraction and manifestation, and I would do them in the room with the teacher and 30 other people in the room, and I'd be like, okay, maybe I have a handle on this. But then I would go home, and I would try it again on my own at home, and it would look like it wasn't working, so I would feel like such a failure that I couldn't hold on to the lessons. You know, it was like I was fighting against my own sense of what was wrong. And so it had to be a really internal shift. It wasn't about learning the process, and then I'm sure some people can do this, that they can learn an external process and allow them to allow it to shift them internally. But for me, I needed the shift to happen so that I was looking at the world through different eyes before I started seeing the manifestations happen differently.
Right. That makes sense. So how did you get started looking for miracles?
Well, it happened very organically. It was the morning of New Year's Day, January 1st, 2011. I woke up that morning just the way I had gone to bed the night before. I was single and not particularly happy about it. I was in a job that was not fulfilling and I didn't particularly enjoy. Financially, I was not in a good space. I had a ton of debt and no idea how to get out. I woke up that morning and I looked at my calendar to sort of review the coming months. And I noticed that I had two speaking engagements scheduled for the same night. And I freaked out because I'm usually so careful about my calendar. So I was
right.
Like, what am I going to do? And they're both organizations that I really like. So I didn't want to disappoint either of them.
Right.
So I'm looking at my calendar, trying to figure out what to do. And then it occurs to me, it's New Year's Day. There's nothing I can do anyway because nobody's going to be sitting by their phone, you know, waiting for my phone call. So that's when I did something that was really different for me at that point. I said, not only can I not deal with this today because no one will be there, but I'm going to decide to deal with it later in the week, and I'm not going to worry about it until then. And that was any of my friends and family can tell you, I am like the queen of stress. If there's something to be worried about it, I will find it.
You'll find it, right.
So the decision that I was going to just put it aside and not worry about it, that was a pretty different one for me. So what happened was I put it aside, and literally within 2 hours, I had an email in my inbox from one of the two organizations saying, Leah, we're so sorry. We messed up, and we can't have you come in January. Is there any way possible that we could shift your presentation with us to February?
Wow.
And I was like, oh, my God. You know, like when I get out of my own way, the world works. And that in itself was a great experience. But it was also, you know, one of those things that's easy enough to put aside, to look at and be like, oh, that's really cool, and then go on with the rest of your day. So I went onto Facebook and I was like, hey, guys, the first miracle of the year happened. And then every day for 8 days in a row, something extraordinary happened like that, things that I could not possibly have created or controlled had I tried. And every day I went onto Facebook, hey guys, the next miracle of the year just happened. And by day 8, I was like, there's something going on here. And I need to start paying attention. I need to not let these things just disappear into the ether because something's going on that's bigger than me. And I need to keep track of it. So that's when I decided to start a journal. I had initially thought that I would keep it private, and my friends asked me to make it public, and that's how the Miracle Journal started.
That's amazing. That's amazing because, you know, do you think all those miracles, I mean, they were happening, you just weren't recognizing them?
Well, that's exactly it. I think that's exactly it. These miracles, I believe, have been going on around me and within me every moment of my life. The question is, was I paying attention? So, you know, there have been so many times when I have experienced grace, you know, like people doing extraordinary things for me. And I either was so ingrained in looking at the world, you know, as a victim or feeling like there was something wrong with me that I didn't see the grace, or I just sort of brushed it off and said, well, that's nice, but, you know, how am I going to pay the next bill? I didn't pay attention. And so I think it's really important. You know, I really like this metaphor that science tells us that there are something like 75 trillion cells in our body. And so if you think about trying to control and direct all 75 trillion of those cells in every moment of every day, like, A, your head would explode.
Right.
But also, we would totally mess it up because we have no idea how any of that stuff works. But the truth is that we don't have to, because our heart knows which way to pump our blood without us telling it. And our lungs know how to extract the oxygen from the air without us having to tell them how. And our liver knows how to detox the blood without us ever having to say or do or direct anything. So there are all these tiny little miracles happening, 75 trillion little miracles happening within us in every second of every day. And if you can extrapolate that from, you know, I'm, 5.5 feet tall, so 5.5 square feet of body, 75 trillion little miracles. Well, what might be happening around me? You know, like when I think of it from that direction, I think this stuff is happening in every moment. The question is, am I opening my eyes to see it?
Right. And that's so true. And that's so true for all of us. I mean, it's just so true for everyone. There's so much we focus so much on our problems and the things going wrong that we don't appreciate the things that are going right. And when you focus on the things that are going right, all of a sudden, lots of things go right.
Right,
you know, because
absolutely.
You've changed your frequency.
Right.
You know, your frequency is just vibrating at a different thing. So you're attracting happiness. You're attracting good things.
Exactly. And I think it's really important to say that this is not because there's something wrong with us that we are thinking. It's not like, I'm a bad person because I'm thinking negatively, or I'm whatever because I am looking at what's wrong. This is how we've been taught to think. You know, this is the culture and the society that we grew up in. And it's not that there was any single person way back in time who thought, oh, I'm really going to mess everybody in my line up and I'm going to teach them to think negatively. We just, for generations and generations, have responded to the hardships that we see around us. And that is the way of thinking that has developed. And we've each learned from our parents or our caregivers, and they've learned from their parents and caregivers. And like this, all the way back for generations, you know, we go to school and we're given math problems, you know, like we're constantly taught in this system how to fix things, how to solve problems. How to find the one hidden piece of answer amongst all of the stuff, and, you know, and to give that back to the teacher. So there's nothing inherently wrong with any of us. It's simply that we've grown up in a system that has not taught us, unfortunately, has not taught us a more healthy, beneficial way to live. So the corollary to that is, you know, if you're 20 or 30 or 40 or 60 or 80, you've had that many years of thinking the way that society has taught us to think. And it's not necessarily going to happen overnight. This, you know, just because you go to a class where they're teaching positive thinking, it doesn't mean that your mind is going to suddenly switch overnight. For some people, it may happen, but it's really important to remember that you've gotten to where you are through day-by-day practice of one method of thinking. And so you're going to move into a new way of thinking by doing a day-by-day practice of the new thinking.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are people, like you said, I mean, some people just need that aha minute, you know, where it's like, oh, this makes sense, you know, you know, I all of a sudden everything clicks, but that's rare, you know, it's rare for some, we can have that moment, but the next day we still wake up with the same stuff that we went, you know, that we went to bed with, the same issues, the same life, you know, the same thing going on in our life. So you know, it is a constant practice. It's not magic. I mean,
And that's why I do the Miracle Journal. You know, it's nice that other people get something out of it, and I love the fact that there is this community growing around it that feeds my heart and my soul. But ultimately, at the base of it, I'm doing it because I need that constant reminder. It's just as easy for me as for anybody else to fall back into this other way of thinking. But when I consciously make the decision to sit down at my computer several times a week and chronicle either the things that are obviously going right or the things that look like maybe they're not going so right, but I'm still learning lessons from them, so there's still something positive going on, then that helps me to stay in this mindset and helps me to keep moving in a positive direction. So ultimately, I'm always doing it for myself first.
Yeah, I you know, it's funny because, you know, when I think back and you think about all the things that have technically gone wrong, the mistakes you've made, I always say that I have zero regrets at anything I've ever done, and I've done some really dumb stuff. don't get me wrong. I have done some doozies. But when when you look, when I go back, I don't regret it because all of it made me learn something.
Right.
You know, it helped create
right.
the person that I've become, and the things that I'm, the mistakes I'm continuing to make now, and the things that I'm gonna, the mistakes I'm sure to make in the future, are still lessons, are still things that I'm learning. So
right.
I think that's a really, really, you know, good point, is that everybody focuses on the past and they end up with all this anxiety and this depression and all this stuff going on because they're so focused on everything that they did wrong, when the wrong things weren't necessarily bad things, and the big, when you're looking at the big picture.
Right, exactly. And it is that big picture that's so important. So, for example, you know, I spent 20 plus years in chronic depression. Like, I was a very high-functioning depressive in that I did really well in school. I had a successful career, but I was doing it because I felt like I needed to prove my place in the world, like I needed mm-hmm. to earn my space, and mm-hmm. I had a hard time getting out of bed in the morning. So, I mean, I was depressed. I was seriously depressed. And through it all, I was wondering, you know, I had an alcoholic abusive father. Why me? Why me? Why me? Why did he screw me up so badly? Why did he have to do those things to me? Why can't I get better? Why am I not strong enough? Why am I not spiritual enough? So 20 years of that. And it's in the last couple of years. And again, there was a period of transition. There was an important period. I call the depression years, those are my black years. And then
mm-hmm.
there's the transition time, which I call my gray period, where I was starting to do my work. I was starting to really make some progress. I got myself on medication. That was the first important thing. I started doing my spiritual work. And then when the Miracle Journal started, that is the transition into sort of my like full color life. And it's only since I've been looking at life through these new glasses and living the full-color life that I can look back at my childhood, look back at those experiences and say, you know what? And this is not about being a Pollyanna. It's not about, you know, thinking that there are rainbows and unicorns in every day. But the truth is that my father, the way that he treated me, the experiences that I had, I learned how to be a strong self, inner-directed person. I had to be in order to survive that experience, in order to come out the other side of that experience as a sane and functioning person. Even though I went through those depressive years, I came out the other side of it still functional. And there's a lot of cleanup to do, but at the end of it, I'm strong and I'm inner-directed. Now, I may not have learned those lessons had my relationship with my father been, you know, your typical leave it to beaver relationship.
Right.
I could be a very different person now. So again,
right.
I'm not saying that it's all rainbows and ponies, because those years hurt. They really were painful. On the other side of it, when I'm able to shift the experience, you know, shift my perspective, I gain something really important from them.
Right. Anyone, just talking to the listeners, anybody who has a question for Leah, you can, or a comment, you can call us at 347-945-7246, and I will be happy to put you on the air. Just push 1 and you'll be in the queue, and just hold on for me to get to you, and I will put you on the air with Leah. The next thing I want, you know, how, since you started paying attention to these miracles that happen in your life every day, what has changed? How has your life changed?
It's changed completely. I mean, honest to goodness. So, like I was telling you before, that when I woke up that morning, January 1st, 2.5 years ago, I was in a job I didn't like. I was single and unhappy. I was drowning in debt. Literally, within 2 weeks, and this still blows my mind, 2 weeks of starting the Miracle Journal, I looked at my career. At the time, I was building websites, and I was working from home. So I was home, isolated, really just not a good fit for me. And within 2 weeks, I thought, you know what? I don't like my job, but I can't quit it yet because I don't have another source of financial income. But I have some other options because I have a flexible schedule. So I'm going to look for something that I can do that gets me out of the house for a couple hours a week, that just excites my brain in a different way. And hopefully that will sort of just stir up some intellectual and creative juices. I was not looking to change careers. I wasn't looking for anything in particular. I just wanted to have some stimulation. So I called a friend who's the publisher of a newspaper, who he and I went to high school together. And I said, can I just come in for a couple of hours a week and learn how a newspaper works? And he said, well, absolutely. And within a month, he'd offered me a full-time job.
Oh, see? Look at that.
So literally, within like not so quickly after starting the Miracle Journal, I have a full-time job writing, which I love, with a group of people who I really enjoy, in an atmosphere that keeps me constantly stimulated, sometimes overstimulated, but for me that's way better than understimulated.
Right.
And then I went through this whole process of opening up my heart to new love. I found a book and I worked myself through the process, and then within a couple months I met this man who was just this incredible soul connection for me. The relationship has ended, but it was this incredible experience of deep and true love. And it was the first time I had experienced that, because I had always been so wrapped up in my grayness and my blackness that I'd never allowed myself to open up to that degree. So here I've experienced this great love. And then, you know, looking at things that don't necessarily look positive in the moment, we broke up. And I had the experience of being truly heartbroken. Now, at the time, that felt awful. It was awful. It was painful. It was so sad, so hurt, so much hurt. But on the other side of it, I realized that for the very first time, I had allowed myself to love so deeply that I was capable of heartbreak. And I had always wondered if maybe I was just, you know, too cold to actually have my heart broken. And I learned that that was not true. So that was a great miracle. And then while I was in relationship with that man, he sat down with me with my finances, and he wasn't scared off by the debt, and he helped me to create a plan. So now, even though he has left my life, I still have this plan. And, you know, in it's been like, I don't know, 16 months since I started, and I've paid over $15,000 in debt, something that I never would have imagined was possible before I started this. Never.
I bet. Wouldn't that be nice? We all need to get rid of some debt, right?
So I want to emphasize that it's not that I changed any of my behavior radically. I'm still working a 40-hour-a-week job. I'm still, you know, buying food and doing all those things. There's nothing that has radically changed. What has changed is the way that what I focus on and how I look at the world. And that has changed everything.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's amazing. I'm going to ask you one more question, but then we're going to take a commercial break. Again, anyone who wants to call in, you can call 347-945-7246 and press 1, and you'll be in the queue to ask Lee a question or comment.
Or present something
that's
not looking so good in your life, and maybe we can help to reimagine it.
That's a great idea because some, like, you know, when people, when they see problems, you know, they may picture it as this huge problem, and it may be something that an outside perspective can see as almost a great blessing, or, you know, at least as a way, you know, of a way of looking at it or handling it, that would be more positive. So that's great. Anybody, if you have any kind of issue going on in your life right now that you want to maybe get some help with, feel free to call in. So what do you think are some of the keys to noticing the miracles that happen in our lives every day?
Yeah, I think it's there are a couple of things. One is the willingness to see them. Because for some people, they're just not interested, or they're really committed to their current way of thinking. And that's okay. If that is the case for somebody, you are where you are, and that's okay. You don't need to do this if it's not speaking to you. But so the first key to seeing miracles is simply the willingness to open your eyes and see them. The next is to create a breath of space for yourself. Honest to goodness, we are so bloody busy in our lives.
Yeah,
and I completely, you know, I am too. I push myself really hard and I'm busy a lot of the time. It's so important. And I think that, this is a mind trip that I play on myself with some regularity, that, well, I don't have time to sit down and do a 20-minute meditation. I don't have time to sit down and listen to this, you know, half-hour guided meditation. I don't have time to whatever this thing is that you look at and say, this is the thing I need to do. So I'm just not going to bother at all. And what I would say is start with 10 seconds. If that's all that you can muster in this moment, it's okay. Start there. Don't torture yourself with the idea that in order to do it, you have to do it perfectly by doing the 20-minute, 40-minute, hour-and-a-half meditation. Start with 10 seconds. And the way I like to make things fun, so the way that I suggest you do it is set an alarm on your phone or on your computer to go off a few times a day and remind you to ask yourself, what's going right now? Or put a sign up on your bathroom mirror so you see it each morning. What's going right now? Put a sign on your refrigerator door so you see it each time you go for a snack. What's going right now? And it's not about, you know, telling yourself to close the refrigerator door because you don't actually need that snack. It's not about that at all. It's about saying, I'm getting a snack and I'm excited about it, you know,
right.
Or put a note in your wallet or on the visor of your car or whatever it is, wherever you're going to see it, and allow it to just be that trigger to take 10 seconds and recognize what's already right.
Yeah, I think that confuses people so much when we start talking about meditation, and people think, I don't have time to meditate, because they think they have to sit in a special position and they have to blank out their minds, which we all know is impossible.
Yeah.
So you cannot really blank your mind. Your mind has to be thinking. So you just have to keep bringing it back to what you want to focus on, what you want to be focused on, and, you know, things of that sort. But you know, that's such a good point, because so many times when I do some of my deepest meditations, I'm doing something crazy like vacuuming or washing dishes. Yeah, washing dishes, things like that, things that are just distractive, that, you know, just distract you and make you go inside your own head and live in your own head. And having those, you know, so those things being part of your everyday life is really helpful. But then when you think about leaving yourself a little note, or like you said, setting an alarm on your phone, I mean, that's a great idea. And just, you know what, be thankful for everything that's happening right in your life. And that was the thing that I loved when I learned about you, Leah, was that, you know, one of the first things I saw was what's going right in your life right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, what a great way to look at life. You know, what a great positive way to look at life. So I love that. And thought that was, you know, I think that's like, there's people can learn so much from you, and they can learn more about you at www.themiraclejournal.com. We're going to take a short break. Anybody who wants to call in, ask Leah a question, comment, or if you have an issue you need some assistance with, we'll be glad to help you. The number is 347-945-7246, and we'll be right back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Jennifer Coolidge. The American Heart Association says the disco song Stayin' Alive is the near-perfect beat for hands-only CPR. If you see a teen or adult collapse from cardiac arrest, you only need 2 steps to help save a life. Call 911 and push hard and fast in the center of the chest to the beat of the song Stayin' Alive. Disco is back and it's saving lives. To learn more, go to heart.org/hands-only-CPR.
Nationally supported by the WellPoint Foundation.
Hi, this is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the RightStream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com. That's L-I-S-A-T-A-R-V-E-S. For details on all the services I offer, information on my book and my radio show. There are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Okay, and we're back with Leah Carey, Chief Miracle Officer and the Miracle Journal. And we're asking Leah lots of great questions today about her work and how she started to recognize all the miracles in your life. And Leah, my next question would be, how do other people notice, you know, you've told us how you did it in your life. So how do you teach others to do it in their life? How do you teach others to notice miracles that happen in their lives?
Yeah, it goes back to what we were talking about just before the break, about finding those 10 seconds at a time to just take a moment, because we get so caught up, you know, it's so easy to be, for instance, sitting at work, working on a project that's maybe not going quite as well as you want it to. And so, you know, you work harder trying to get it to go right. The more you try to get it to go right, maybe it looks even like less like it's going right, and you push and you push and you push, and you get so stressed out that it's hard to see anything. And those are the moments when I think it's so important to literally just turn away from your screen for 10 seconds and be like, when is the last time that I smiled? What, you know, what's the last joke I heard that made me laugh? Or what's the last time that my child gave me a hug? Or, you know, anything that just sort of breaks you out of that energy pattern so that you can then go back to that project with a fresh mind. So it's really just about having those constant reminders to just take a few seconds away and ask yourself what's going right. And there are lots of ways you can do it. You know, some other practical suggestions are to keep something. I wear jeans a lot of the time, so I always keep little tokens in my pocket, you know, like little angel tokens or ones that have words on them. And anytime I put my hands in my pocket, that's like a tactile reminder for me to ask myself, so what's going right now? You could have a buddy, you know, pair up with somebody who you think who's also interested in starting to shift this mindset, and plan to talk to each other maybe a couple times a week, send emails, do it on the phone, maybe set out a special time to go have coffee together and talk about, limit your conversation, make a conscious decision to limit your conversation to those things that are going right. It does not mean that you have to deny or pretend that there's nothing going wrong, but it does mean that you're making a special time to focus on the things that are going right.
Yeah, I like that, because that's so, you know, that's what we just don't do. You know, we get so wrapped up, like I said earlier, in everything that's going wrong. We just don't take the time to realize the things that aren't going wrong and feel lucky. Because
right, exactly.
There are things that could be going wrong that aren't.
If you go to, say, a Starbucks or, you know, whatever your personal place is that you like to hang out, go sit there for half an hour and listen to the conversations around you. And I'm willing to bet you that 95% of those conversations are about the problems that people are having. They're about the, you know, the daughter, the teenage daughter who's having mood swings and is being difficult to deal with. They're about the person at work who's someone doesn't like. They're about money. They're about all of the things that are going wrong. And listen to those conversations and see how many of them are people saying, I'm so excited about X thing that happened, or I'm so excited about, you know, going to this show tonight, or, you know, it's incredibly rare when you actually sit and listen to hear conversations about what's going right.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the things that you say is that most people aren't lacking for joy in their lives.
Right.
They're just not taking time to experience and appreciate the joy that's already there.
Yeah.
So why do you think people do that? Why do you think miracles get overlooked so much?
Well, again, it goes back to this this way that we've been taught to think, that it's much more comfortable for us to look around our life and say, what are the problems that need to be fixed? Where are the things where I'm not making as much money that as I common for us to be looking at our life and looking at the things that we feel like we need to fix? And in trying to fix all of those things, in trying to work our way into having the perfect life, we're so busy. We're, you know, we're rushing around trying to have the perfect career so that we can make the money, so that we can have the house, so that we can take the kids to and on the vacations and on and on and on, that it's so hard for people. Without being really conscious of it, it's so challenging for people to find those few minutes a day or even 10 seconds at a time to just take a breath and focus on what's right. Again, it's not because anyone is incapable of it. I believe that everyone is capable of making this shift. It's simply a question of awareness and willingness.
You know, I think we covered some of this earlier, but do you think miracles are always, you know, those happy, glorious things? Everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's a miracle. Or do you think sometimes miracles are not so good? Not, you know, not necessarily positive, happy things that are happening in our life.
Right, absolutely. You know, I refer to it as the stinky pile of poo. So there are times when we have stinky piles of poo in our life, and it's like we walk into the living room and they're like, what does that smell? Something stinks. And if people have a variety of reactions, one reaction is, I'm going to pretend it's not there, and then you step in it and you track it all over the room, and you now don't just have an isolated stinky pile of poo in the middle of the living room, but you've now tracked it all over your apartment, and it's affected every part of your life by pretending that it's not there. Another way of dealing with the stinky pile of poo is to get a tub of icing and cover it with icing and pretend it's a cake, but it's still a stinky pile of poo with a you know, layer of icing on top of it. What I would say is that you can look at that stinky pile of poo and say, wow, this sucks. This really sucks. It smells bad. It's dirty. And it makes me really upset that it's here. So I'm going to take a couple minutes to really just let myself feel upset that my rug has been stained and that there's now this odor in my room, and then I'm going to go get the material to clean it up, and when I clean it up, I'm going to take it outside and use it as fertilizer in my garden. So now I know, but that might all sound, you know, to someone who's sitting in the middle of a stinky pile of poo, that might sound kind of like, oh, great, just do this and this and this and everything's perfect. Well, you know, screw you. But I really think that it's true. So, you know, you can go back to the story I was telling about my dad earlier. I'll give you a specific example to do with him. He was very invested in me being successful academically. And he was always talking about me going to Harvard. This was going to be like the pinnacle of my achievement, but really of his achievement as a father, that right. I was going to be the first person in his family to go to college, and I was going to go to Harvard. And so all through my growing up years, he talked about Harvard. And as the time to actually apply to colleges got closer, he said to me, don't worry about, and our family did not have very much money. He said, don't worry about how much a college costs. You apply to the best schools that you can get into, and we're going to make sure that you go to the best school that you can get into. So, and this was like a, you know, a litany. I heard this over and over and over. This was the message. Don't you worry about how much it costs, because we're going to make sure you go. So I got into Brandeis University. Really good school, really expensive school. And I had been there for about a year and a half. I was in the middle of my sophomore year when my father got angry at me, as, you know, sometimes happens in an alcoholic family. And he stopped speaking to me, and he wrote to the financial aid office and said, I will no longer contribute to Leah's education. I don't want to have anything to do with her. Now, financial aid, that's not the way it works. If a parent has money, they're expected to contribute. But I had the good fortune that I had chosen to go into financial aid office as my on-campus job. And this, totally separate from the Miracle Journal, I would highly recommend to anybody who's looking at what their on-campus work-study job should be, work in the financial aid office. Because what I learned is that I had, you know, I became friends with my financial aid counselor. And when all of this happened, she said to me, do you want to be in touch with your father? And I said, no, I don't. And she said, okay, we're going to make sure. I'm not going to make you get in touch with him, and we're going to make sure that you can stay in school. Mm. So now, at the time, I was devastated. My father didn't want to speak to me. He had broken the promise that he had been making since I was a baby about staying, about, you know, going to the best school I could get into and making sure that that would happen. And it took me a lot of years to realize that there was a huge miracle in there, which is that separate from my father, I had developed these really strong relationships because of who I was, not because I was his daughter, not because I had, you know, had these academic achievements, but because of who I was as a person, I had developed these relationships that allowed me to stay in school. And that was a testament to who I was, but I couldn't see it until years later.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, it's so hard to go through, but, you know, and we don't, we, you know, that's a good example of how you weren't giving yourself credit at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, you realized that, you know, you had more power than you thought you had, you know.
Absolutely.
You had, through your, you being who you are, you know, you opened doors that you thought your father controlled in a lot
right,
of ways.
Right, exactly, exactly. And I think it's so important for people to hear this message as well, that sometimes it takes time to find the miracles. It's really okay if you're in the midst of a stinky pile of poo situation and you can't see the silver lining. It's okay. Don't force it. Because sometimes you really just need to go through the experience of feeling the feelings and living through the fallout so that later you can see it. You know, we all walk around saying there's a lesson, there's a reason for everything, there's a lesson in everything. I absolutely agree. But there are a lot of times in life when that lesson doesn't show itself and that reason doesn't show itself right away because there's still more for us to learn. And so there's nothing wrong with you if you're not seeing it yet.
That's so true because, you know, I mean, you're like you say, you're in the middle of the stinky pile of poo situation and then, you know, and you can't really see, oh, what's the, I don't see the good lesson here. I don't see, you know, what's good about this. All I see is this big old stinky pile of poo. Now you've got me saying it too. But it's true. But then, you know, you can look back on it once it's over and be like, wow, I really made it through. I was really strong. I really powered through that situation. And I did it because, like you said, of who I am, who you were at the time. And that's really cool. So do you think when life is hard and we're, you know, really sad and hurt and angry, do you think we're supposed to find miracles then? Or do you think... Well, we're going through it, like we were just saying, that we're supposed to just wait it out.
Yeah, I think that like I said, I am a student of metaphysics and a student of spirituality. And I also recognize that there are some of the ways that people are learning this material are sort of bumper sticker ways. So, you know, just think positive and that, you know, and so the way that they're internalizing it is I shouldn't be angry because then I'll attract more anger into my life, or I shouldn't be scared because then I'll just attract more things to be scared of. And I think that, that there's a disconnect there because the truth is that we need to feel angry. We need to feel scared. If those are the feelings that are there, they're there for a reason, and it's because we need to feel them. So the most important thing when you're in the middle of one of those situations is to allow yourself to really feel your feelings instead of taking out the tub of icing and trying to make it in, look like a cake. It's not a cake. It's a stinky pile of poo with a layer of icing on it. So really take some time to honor the fact that sometimes things feel crappy.
Yeah.
And once you've felt your way through it, you can get to the other side. You know, for a lot of years, I was scared of being quiet because I was scared that if I gave myself a couple minutes to think or feel, I would descend, you know, I would just break into hysterical tears and never stop. I was scared of feeling. And so I didn't allow myself to do it. What I'm experiencing now is that I'm trusting myself to feel bad because I know that I'll come out the other side of it. And that's a really big lesson to learn. I'm trusting myself to feel bad because I know that on the other side of it, I will feel good again.
You know, it's so funny because when I wrote my book, it was a personal story basically of my childhood and my gifts as a child and my gifts as a teenager and adult. But not only about what they were about, but what they taught me, how those things made me who I am. And one of the chapters in my book is on forgiveness. And I talk about, you know, all the stuff I know, I have a master's degree in metaphysical science. I'm a metaphysician. I'm a board certified holistic health practitioner. You know, all of these things that all these books that I've read and classes that I've taken and tests that I've taken, you know what? When somebody hurts me, when I get hurt, I still lick my wounds. You know,
yeah.
I disconnect myself from that person for at least a while, if not for a long time, or forever in some situations, depending on what the situation was. I take the time to feel the anger, to feel the hurt. And then I forgive it, you know, then I forgive it, but I allow myself to feel the feelings. And I think that that's important because people just think, oh, I'm supposed to forgive. Well, you can't when you're still in the midst of severe anger, when it's fresh wound, you know, it's really hard to do that. So what are some of the miracles that you found on your bad days?
Oh, gosh. So many. Well, you know, just recently, I had one of those days. I think I'd had a bad dream the night before or something. I don't know. I woke up really crabby one day. This was sometime in the last couple of weeks.
I think you wrote about that on your blog.
I did. Yeah. I think it's still on the front page of the, if you scroll down. So I woke up really crabby. And, I reached out to some of my friends on Facebook, and I was like, I'm really crabby today. Does anybody have something that they can tell me that will make me feel better? And one of my friends sent me this story about, it was like a parable of the crab, and how the crab, this little baby crab, was living in its village, and at the sort of the edge of the water in a grouping of rocks, and none of the crabs had ever left their little village to venture out and see what was beyond their pile of rocks. And this little crab woke up one day, and its shell had split open and was lying there on the floor. And at first the crab was terrified. What does this mean? What's wrong with me? What's going on? And the other crabs came over and said, don't worry, this is the process of growing and blah, blah, blah. They said, but be careful, because this is also the time when you're going to want to venture out onto those rocks and see what else is out there. And you need to be really careful, because that's dangerous. And you need to sort of hold down that desire. And so he feels the desire, and because he is the hero of our story, of course, he does climb the rocks, and he meets this other big crab, and he says to the crab, how did you get so big? And the crab says, because every time my shell cracks open, I go out into the big world, and I grow a couple sizes, and my new shell becomes, grows to that size. So I could grow as big as I want, as long as I allow myself the space to do it. So, out of having this incredibly crabby day, I received this wonderful parable from a friend that showed me that, when I'm having those crabby days, it's because I'm on the verge of something new. I'm on the verge of learning something new, or expanding my thinking, or expanding my horizons. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. That's really, I think that's really important too. Do you feel like you've always just been an optimistic person, or do you feel like, that it took, the struggles and things that you went through in your life? I mean, you seem mostly optimistic. I mean, I'm sure you have your days, just like we all do.
Oh, I certainly have my days. But no, I'm definitely not an at heart an optimistic person. I mean, first of all, I've already said I spent 2+ decades in chronic depression, and then another 5 or 6 years in this gray period. So no, I don't come to this work with some inner reserve of goodness, feeling goodness. I really think that my ability to move and function and live a colorful life is a result of just being conscious each day about what's going right. And it has absolutely nothing to do with how naturally optimistic or positive I am.
We talked about this a little bit too already, but there's a lot of talk about the law of attraction. We all know the law of attraction, like attracts like, the whole thing. And that's what, that's how we think our reality is basically created. Do you think that finding miracles is the same thing as practicing the law of attraction? And I know we talked about this a little bit before, but do you think that it's the same thing? Do you think it's because you're looking for positive that you're getting positive, like we talked about, or do you think that, that they're really very separate things, like separate thought processes?
I think there's a part of the answer that's yes and a part of the answer that's no. So
right.
I think that, yes, because I'm looking for miracles, I'm more likely to see them. I'm looking for miracles, so I'm opening a greater space in my life to experience them and to have them come to me. So in that way, yes, I would say that that is an aspect of the law of attraction. I'm vibrating at a certain rate, and so I'm attracting experiences to me that vibrate at that same rate. So in that way, absolutely yes. However, I would suggest that there are many laws of the universe, and the law of attraction is only one of them. And that I believe that miracles happen at a different, higher level than the law of attraction, because they are happening around us and within us. I mean, go back to the story about the 75 trillion cells. They are happening around us and within us in every moment of every day, no matter what. There is nothing you can do to stop them. There is nothing, there is no thing that you can do that is so bad that they will disappear. There is no thought that you can think that is so bad that they will end. There is nothing that you can do that will cause them to disappear from your life. And conversely, there is nothing that you have to do in order to earn their presence in your life. There's nothing that you have to earn or do or say or think to make yourself worthy of experiencing miracles. And so in that way, it's vibrating at a different level than the law of attraction. I would say it's, you know, the law of grace or the law of miracles, if you will. They are happening within us and around us in every moment of every day. The only question is whether our eyes are open to see them.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point. It's there. That's all around us. It's just, you know, whether or not we're paying attention, I guess.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the favorite miracles that you've had over the last couple of years in your life?
Yeah, you know, it changes on any given day that you asked me. So let's see, what am I thinking about today? I think that I had this dream a while back. It was actually a couple of years ago now, but I was just talking about this with a friend, so it's fresh in my mind again, that I had this dream about meeting my soulmate, and that I was in relationship with this person, and we were deeply in love, deeply committed to each other. And then I woke up one morning with sort of the soap opera version of amnesia, where you don't know anyone, you don't know anything, you don't know your own name, you don't know, you know, anything. And so
right.
Here I am in relationship with this person who I no longer remember. And he knows me. He is still completely in love with me, but I have absolutely no idea who he is. And in this dream, I have the experience of getting to fall in love with him again. While he loves me, I get to discover him and fall in love with him again. So it was a really cool dream, but I wake up the next morning, I'm like, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah.
I had amnesia. I'm not sure I'm okay with the fact that I had amnesia in this dream. What does that mean? And,
isn't there a movie? There's a movie right now out, I think, about a guy that, I think it's the guy, falls has to fall back in love every day with the same woman because he doesn't
really
remember past a day. Yeah, I think I saw a commercial about that. I could have dreamt it, though.
Okay. Sure. That sounds really cool. I'd like to see that.
I know. It seemed fascinating.
Yeah. Well, it took me a couple of days to get to an interpretation of the dream that I like, and it's that, and when I did, I was like jumping up and down. I was so excited by it that what if this is a representation of my true soulmate, this person who I have loved through many, many times, through many lifetimes, and
right.
that we really do have this experience of coming into this lifetime, being born, and forgetting. And then we have the opportunity to meet each other again and fall in love again and really have that soul connection, but to discover it again for the first time. And so I'm so excited by that possibility. And when am I going to meet this person?
Well, and that it is exciting because, you know, it that's exactly what it is. It's like when you meet that person, it's like such an intense, beautiful process of falling in love.
Yeah.
And we do. And I think, you know, the precognitive dreams and the past life dreams and all of that stuff that happens, I think we actually, my personal opinion is we're basically back on the other side when we're in a deep sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And, we cross back over, and I think that, you know, maybe we learn, hey, this is coming soon. So maybe that dream, now look at me, I'm being a dream coach, but that dream is saying that this person is going to be entering your life soon. You know, maybe it was your kind of premonition dream where, you know, this is going to be happening soon. So,
from your mouth
to
God's ears.
Yes, right? Don't forget to keep me updated. I love to get in the middle of that kind of stuff. I love to know. I like to live vicariously through everyone else.
Yeah.
So, you know. All right, so I'm going to take another break. Anybody,
okay.
You were down to the last few minutes of the show, so anybody who wants to ask a question, make a comment, or need some guidance from Leah about anything going on in your life and maybe where, you know, you need somebody to pick out what's right about your situation, you can call us at 347-945-7246. The chat room's always open as well. And if you call 347-945-7246, press 1, and you will be in the queue. But for now, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk. We have the power to stop the bullying.
Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get on the school bus.
To turn on my computer.
A walk to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Hi, this is Daria Ann, author and founder of the Writestream Radio Network. If you're an author, writer, blogger, or just someone who enjoys reading and learning, I hope you'll tune in to our inspiring, insightful, and educational programs. Every Sunday, join author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvez for Just Believe at 1 p.m. Eastern, when she explores a variety of spiritual topics, including alternative healing modalities. A gifted intuitive from a young age, Lisa's book, entitled Just Believe, chronicles her journey from a childhood of seeing and communicating with angels to a career in which she uses her talents to help others emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Each week, she interviews experts in the fields of personal growth, spiritual development, and alternative medicine. Military Mondays with author and military historian John D. Gresham analyzes current events and issues from the perspective of the United States military. Tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern every Monday when John, author of such books as Uncommon Valor and journalist for the Defense Media Network, interviews accomplished guests on important topics like national security and defense and global terrorism. Writestream Tuesdays with Daria Ann airs at 1 p.m. Eastern and welcomes authors in diverse genres, including romance, drama, military history, spirituality, and politics. We also Speak Social, discussing the benefits and pitfalls of social media platforms and the numerous and plentiful publishing formats now available, with various experts in order to help other authors navigate through new technology to reach higher levels of success. During every broadcast, we welcome your calls at 347-945-7246. And of course, the chat room is always open. Can't listen live? No worries. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/writestream to listen to the archives. And be sure to join us for our weekly Thursday WriteStream Twitter chat at 11 a.m. Eastern using the hashtag WriteStream on Twitter. Rejoice in the flow of creativity with the WriteStream Radio Network and the WriteStream Twitter chat.
Hey, we're back with Just Believe Radio, and our guest this week is Leah Carey, who is the author of the Miracle Journal, which is a blog, an online blog. And I have to ask you, Leah, before we wrap things up, do you ever feel like you're like putting your stuff out there, your personal life out there, all the stuff that's going on in your life, you know? Do you ever feel uncomfortable about that because it's on the internet? I mean, there are people that won't even make their Facebook pages public.
I know. Yeah, you know, it's a decision that I made right at the beginning that if I was going to do this, then I was going to allow myself to be really vulnerable. And it feels like the right decision for me because what I hear from other people is, from readers is, you know, thank you so much for showing me what it looks like so that I know that I'm not alone, so that I know that I can do it too, so that I know that, so I can see a reflection of what's going on in my life. So, yeah, you know, there are times when I put out some pretty personal, vulnerable stuff, but it's also true that I don't put anything up on the internet until I've really processed through it personally. So there are times when I am on my living room couch doing the ugly cry and, you know, with snot running down my face, you don't see those on the Miracle Journal because I take time to process that and get to the lesson before I post it. So,
right.
Yes, it's personal and vulnerable, but it's I'm careful about what I post as well.
So you're not doing the, you know, the you know, like the drunk texting stuff that we
right.
had something.
Exactly, drunk blogging. No. Yeah, I think there's enough noise in the world. There's enough noise in the world. You don't need mine too.
The wine stays on. If I'm having a glass of wine, the computer's getting put away. That's
yeah.
I'm gonna find this to do. Yeah. I made that mistake too many times. All right. This has been really great. I've really enjoyed talking to you, and I want to give you a minute to tell everybody how you can help them personally, how to get in touch with you, anything more you want to say about your work.
Okay, great. Thank you. Well, as Lisa has said, you can find me at themiraclejournal.com, just the way it sounds. And while you're there, please sign up for the weekly email where I send out stuff that only goes out in the weekly email, you know, life lessons and things that are not necessarily the daily miracles but are still, I think, good stuff to be thinking about and ways to start looking at your life through the lens of what's going right. And also there's a place on the website that says share your miracle, and I hope that you will come and click that link and share with me things that are going right in your life. I do post these when I get them, you know, maybe not the next day, but I do usually post them pretty within the next few weeks. Part of what I'm doing here is creating a community, and I really would love to have you come be a part of that community by sharing what's going right for you. So sign up for the weekly email. Share with me what's going right in your life. You can also, through the contact page, reach out to me. I am a coach. There's not a lot of information on the website about coaching because I really want to do it with people who are ready, who are ready to reach out and make the commitment. So I am at the moment relying on you to reach out and say to me, I'm ready. And then we can talk about what coaching looks like. So, thank you so much, Lisa. You know, I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and all the regular things. You'll find those links on the blog. And it's been such a pleasure to be here with you.
I really enjoyed you being on, and I'm so happy you were able to do a full show with me. We're going to be switching soon to a two-hour show, two guests a week. So I'm trying to get some of the most interesting stuff I can, so I can, you know, on right now, so I can get lots of time with people. So plus I have to still learn how to work all this hosting stuff. So
well, thank you, and I'm honored.
thank you. No, thanks for being on the show, and I will hopefully be in touch with you soon.
Okay, terrific.
See ya.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, that's the end of our show for the week. I just wanted to thank everybody for tuning in. Just Believe Radio is on every week on the Right Stream Network on Sundays at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. And we, like I said earlier, we'll have lots of different topics under the spiritual, metaphysical umbrella of things. If you want to be a guest on the show, if you've written a book or you have some sort of spiritual or holistic practice and you have something to share with the world, please send me an email and tell me a little bit about what you do. And if you're fit for the show, I will definitely be in touch with you. You can send me an email at lisa@lisatarvis.com, and I'd be happy to receive that, read it, and get back to you. Again, my name is Lisa Tarvis. I am a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner. I am a hypnotherapist and lots of other things. I can do Reiki healings. Anybody, even if you're not in the area, you don't have to be in the area to have any kind of psychic reading or any kind of energy reading or guidance session with me. We can do phone or chat. So absolutely check out my website at lisatarvis.com, lisatarves.com. And you'll also find a link to my book there. My book is called Just Believe. And be thrilled. Anybody wants to read it, or if you've already read it, leave a review. That would be great. Next week, we have another great show planned. I'm going to be having a lady by the name of Melanie Smithson on the show. She's a hypnotherapist, and she is a Life Between Lives spiritual integration facilitator. So it's going to be really interesting because she actually goes back. She's a body-oriented psychotherapist, and she speaks to groups and does lots of teaching and things. But she followed what was developed by Michael Newton, who wrote Journey of Souls, if you've ever read the book. And she's been basically facilitating sessions through that process that he talks about in his book. So it's about, you know, the spiritual side, after you pass this life, what's on the other side. So it's really, I think, going to be a fascinating show. So be sure to tune in next week for that show. And if you have any comments on the show, any questions that you want answered, any psychic questions you want answered, if you have any kind of spiritual questions, just email me, lisa@lisatarvis.com, and I will add them to the show at the beginning of the show every week. So I appreciate everybody tuning in. Have a great rest of your Sunday. It's beautiful here in the Northeast. Hope it's the same wherever you are. And I will see you all next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.